Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. John begins his gospel with the first words of the book of Genesis, saying, "In the beginning." But before his first audience was able to finish that first verse by saying, "God created the heavens and the earth," he wrote instead, "Was the Word." Those words, "in the beginning," take us immediately to a moment when we are ready to envision darkness and void and chaos and emptiness. We're ready to imagine the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the deep, if you can possibly try to imagine that. We're ready to try to imagine hearing the first words of God that are revealed to us. We're ready to consider the words, "Let there be light." But instead of this, St. John informs our imagination with new information. Into that mystical and hazy and unimaginable scene of creation, an invisible God, a spirit hovering over the waters of the void, the gospel injects, "In the beginning was the Word." We begin to see that in the beginning was the Holy Trinity. In the beginning was the Father. In the beginning was the Spirit hovering over the waters. In the beginning was the Son, the Word, the Logos. And as that image is now informed with a person, a Word, only two sentences later we learn that in the Son, in the Word, was life. And that life was the light of men. At the creation of all things, the first word of God is, "Let there be light." And at the revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we learn that the source of that illumination is the Son of God, the light of the world. And as the church would say about the Son, not only that he is God of God, and very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, but also he is light of light. But then we learn more. This light, it shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That is to say, to the darkness, the light was incomprehensible. And the word is katalambano, which means to seize or to take hold of or fully understand or comprehend. And I know that we think of this solely in an intellectual sense in the 21st century. The darkness had a misunderstanding. The darkness was not educated enough to comprehend. The darkness needed one more seminary level course on light, and then the darkness would have comprehended the light. But let me point to you a different and better understanding. When something is incomprehensible, it means that it cannot be contained. Rather, it cannot be encircled by the mind, the understanding, or by perception. You can't reach around it with your arms and touch your fingers on the other side. You cannot be greater than the incomprehensible. We say you can't wrap your mind around something, and that's pretty close to incomprehensible. In the Athanasian Creed, which we say on Trinity Sunday, we assert that God is incomprehensible in just that sense. The darkness now could not comprehend the light. Think again how light works, how it worked tonight. One might also, or almost say, that in our experience, darkness is the norm. When there is no power, when there is no candle, when there is no intervention, darkness closes in. Even the sun in outer space, if that's outer space, in space, the sun is comprehended by darkness. And think of how candlelight works. Wherever the candle shines in the darkness, darkness completely encircles that light. And it's only a matter of time before the candle goes out, the darkness closes in and fully comprehends that light. I don't know if you know, but to be a heathen originally meant to worship gods that you had made and kept on your hearth. Heathen. And in the religion of the Norse, life was envisioned like a hearth fire in the dark of winter. Life was that little light. Strive against the night as one may, even succeed for a few years, soon enough, the hearth fire would go out and the blizzard-filled darkness would overcome the hearth fire. Now consider how different than that is what St. John says. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This is no hearth fire dying in the night of a dark blizzard. We've never seen a light like this in our experience. Darkness always surrounds light, from the light of a supernova explosion in outer space down to the little glow of your candle tonight. Darkness always comprehends and surrounds light in our experience. But in the beginning was the Word, and he was the life and the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Here are the various translations of the Bible as they try and struggle to grasp or have an English word for that. The darkness comprehended it not, apprehended it not, did not perceive it, did not grasp it, has not overcome it, did not overtake it. The light of Christ is not encircled with darkness, as is every other light that we know. This light is as different from that light as creature is from creator. The light of Christ comprehends darkness. He apprehends darkness. He overtakes darkness. Christ's light overcomes darkness. Now, when this light departed from the body of Christ on the cross of Calvary on Good Friday, there was reason to weep. The Word, the light, became flesh. We beheld his glory, and then he was gone from our sight. When this light of the world was plunged into death, when his body and his soul were separated, his body was taken down from the cross and buried, as ours will be one day too. We are permitted to cry for that. But the soul, the essence, the nature of God descends into the lower parts, and what could you expect might happen when a light which cannot be comprehended descends into utter darkness? Is the light extinguished like a candle, like a hearth fire surrounded by a blizzardy night? Not at all. Instead, this divine light consumed the darkness from all sides. This light is not encircled by darkness, even in death. When death opens its maw to consume the light of the world, death itself is swallowed up in victory. The light of the world that the darkness could not comprehend gives us victory now by dispelling the darkness by himself, in himself. And his resurrection is a revelation of the victory that he could not have done anything else but win. St. Paul now taunts the enemy, saying, "Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And there is therefore no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. God has invited us to participate with him in that victory, a victory that darkness could not comprehend. If you are baptized with Christ into his death, you will be raised with him into his own victorious life, the victorious resurrected life we unreservedly celebrate and claim as our own victory tonight. This night we recognize not only that the light of Christ shines in the darkness, but that the light of Christ consumes, comprehends, circumnavigates the darkness. And this night we thank God that the light of Christ has been shared with us. The Word who was in the beginning with God and was God, the victor whose new life conquers death and hell and sin and darkness, the light who shined in the darkness with incomprehensible light and now dwells in us and we in him. This Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.